Welcome to another episode of Stunt Stories. I'm Corey Eubanks, and today I have a very good friend of mine. We've been working together for decades in the film and television industry. This man has worked on some of the biggest feature films and TV shows ever produced. He's done Lucifer, CSI Vegas, Scorpion, CSI Miami, 911 Lone Star, Grey's Anatomy, Training Day, Banshee, Ray Donovan, Numbers, Spider-Man, The Patriot, and even way, way, way back, he did Miami Vice. Mr. Jim Vickers, thank you for being a guest on Stunt Stories.
Hi, Corey. How are you?
I'm good, buddy. It's good to hear your voice.
Good to hear yours too, pal.
You know, what's always been a pleasure of mine is when you would call me and to see if I was available to come work for you. I knew that we were going to be spending a lot of time on set laughing and cracking each other up because we both...
Well, that's for sure.
We both think that we're so funny.
We're very funny. We are very funny. I mean, I don't care what anybody else says. We're really funny.
We could just ask ourselves that, right?
Exactly.
Hey, can you recall the first time you and I met? I mean, I'm asking you to go back a long ways, long time.
God, I do not have a clear recollection of the time you and I met. My God, it's been so long.
Yeah, me too.
I'm trying to, like, when was that?
I mean, were we working together just on a film? I don't know, Jim.
God, man, I'm trying to search the memory bank. Of course, it's dark and scary in there.
Well, I guess I must have made such a lasting impression on you when we met.
There's just been so many, 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 many times that the first time doesn't seem to be. God, man, when was that?
Was it on CSI Miami?
No, it was before that. It's got to have been before that.
Well, what year did you come out from because you were in Florida, right? That's where you started your career?
I was. Yeah. I came out here in 1999 out to California. But it seems to me, did you worked on, God, what was that? Speed. Didn't you work on Speed?
No.
The second one? No, down in the Keys? You didn't work on that?
No.
God, when was it? Was it, you didn't work on The Patriot, did you?
No. You get one more shot and you struck out. You've got one more wild guess.
Okay, let's just say it was CSI Miami.
Yeah, let's say that. Oh, my
God. No, wait. It was before that. It was before She Spies because I started directing on She Spies and I called you for advice, remember? Remember when I started directing second unit and
yes.
I called you and said, help me, Corey, please help me.
Yeah, but we had worked together before that.
That was before CSI Miami.
Gosh, you know what? We're two old guys who can't remember. It was damn near 40 years ago, but yeah, gosh, it's scary.
A long time ago. It's amazing that we're still this good looking, healthy, and strong.
You know what I love about you two? You know what I love about our relationship is that you and I might not see each other or talk to each other for a year or two. And then when we see each other or we reconnect, it's just like it was, you know, like we haven't skipped a beat, which is nice.
Not at all. It is. It's amazing.
So let me ask you.
But oftentimes that's the way it is, isn't it?
Yeah.
In this business.
It is. Let me ask you this. Are you primarily right now focused on directing second unit or stunt coordinating? What is it that Jim Vickers is doing right now? Because I know you've been a first unit director, you've produced, you've done second unit, you've stunt coordinated, you've done stunts. What is it that makes you happy right now?
Well, and that's a great question, Corey, because honestly, you know, I'm grateful and I've been, you know, blessed to be able to check off most of the boxes in this business as you have. And to tell you the God's honest truth, now this many years into my career, I just like being a stunt guy. I just like being a stunt coordinator. I love going in. I love hanging with the, you know, with everyone. I love putting the action together. You know, if they want to throw me a camera and ask me to direct, then I'm happy to do that. But the God's honest truth is I love to be in the stunt department
Yes,
more than anything else.
buddy, I know exactly what you're saying, 'cause for a while there, that was my goal, was to become a first unit director, and I did. You know, I've directed 21 1-hour TV shows and got into that rotation, and I felt like, I wanted to be out playing with the boys, man, and crashing cars and doing stuff, and I thought, you know, am I doing this to try to impress somebody or impress myself because I'm now a director? I was miserable. Cost me my marriage. I turned into an asshole. I didn't like the person I had become. And I was missing being with the guys and developing stunts. And so I know exactly what you're talking about.
I totally agree with you. I honestly feel that for me, it was directing main unit was it was more of an ego thing, I think, than a passion thing. I think that we're all filmmakers, you know, everybody from craft service to, you know, to the producers, the directors, the writers, we're all filmmakers. We're all trying to tell a story, you know, and part of what we do from the action side is drive the story forward with what we're doing. So I think for me on a personal level, it was I think it was a little bit more ego driven than passion driven.
You know what, Jim? It's so funny you to admit that, because I'm admitting it alongside you. That was exactly what it was for me too, and also some of the checks were kind of nice though. The directing checks were kind of nice.
Yeah, the checks weren't bad.
The checks weren't bad. Those
Besides that.
didn't suck. But yeah, it was one of those things. Yeah, I want to be known as a director, and then falling into that world, and then realizing, you know. Not too many good times. A lot of pressure, you know. It
Well,
just.
It's funny, a good friend of mine who's an incredibly talented director that's directed well over 200 episodes of episodic television. And that's kind of where I fell in as a director, had told me early on that because we I was working with him on as a stunt coordinator, second unit director on an episode that he was directing, and I was down hanging with the fellas, and you know, and we were laughing it up and having a bunch of fun, and he's looking over at me and he asked me to come up, and I thought he was asking me to come up to talk to him about the next shot or something that we're putting together, but he called me up to tell me basically, Jim, when you start directing, you know, the fun you're having right now, that's all going away. He goes, you're not going to have time to hang out with the folks. You're going to be under a lot of pressure. You're going to be under a lot of stress. You know, there's a lot of eyes on you. There's a lot of cooks in the kitchen. And God, he was 1,000% right.
Yeah.
So, no, now I get to hang with everybody, and it's fun.
You know, one of the funnest stories I have about you and I, I mean, typically you would call me to come work for you, and it would be a vehicular related stunt, you know, a car chase or a crash. And I don't remember the name of the show. I just remember showing up in the morning, and you're like, Corey, let me show you what we're gonna do. You're gonna come across here, and you're gonna come through here, and I think it was a, you know where I'm going with this, across this lawn, or and you're gonna go over this fence or these hedges or whatever the hell it was. And I'm like, are we going to have jump ramps there to jump the? You're like, jump ramp? What are you talking about? I go, I got to jump the. Do you remember this?
I totally remember it. I totally remember it. It was a total setup. I'm like going, yeah, we got this big chase we got to do. You know, there's a lot involved. There's a lot of moving pieces. Are you in? Are you out? No. You were saying, no, I'm in. I'm in. And when you got there in the morning, and I was going through exactly what you're talking about, and you're going, Jim, I thought it was a chase. I thought this was a chase. I'm like going, it is a chase. It's a foot chase. It would, like, oh, I don't do those.
Jim, I don't do foot chases.
It was awesome. Oh.
I was.
But
go ahead. What?
That was awesome. No. Go ahead.
I would say, as I was listening to you, I was trying so hard to connect the dots to make it make sense to what you were telling me. Because some of the places you were saying, you're gonna chase the guy through here, and I'm like, freaking car won't even fit through there. How am I gonna make it between the building and the chain link fence? There's not enough room. And I was really like trying to catch up with you, and so it would make logic. And then you're like, it's a foot chase. I don't know why I thought that was so funny.
One of my funniest stories that I'll always remember, Corey, is we were doing that little feature in New Mexico, I believe it was. And I had called you up, and you were going to do a little pipe ramp on this show. And I had talked with the hair department, and they knew full well that we were going to be doing, we were turning the car over. You were going to be in a full suit with a helmet and the whole nine yards. We had a roll cage in there. I mean, it was everything that we do when we normally do it when we're turning a car over. And I had told the hair department that, and because the guy that you were doubling, remember the guy that you were doubling had like a Friar Tuck kind of hairline. He was bald on top and he had some hair on the side of his head and stuff like that. And I had told the hair department, don't worry about it. I go, he's going to be wearing a helmet, so when he comes here in the morning, just know that he doesn't even need to go through hair or anything like that because of what we're going to be doing action wise. And lo and behold, I get there in the morning and I'm like, where's Corey? Well, he's in hair makeup. I go, why is he in hair makeup? He's doing a turnover. And I walked in the trailer and they were shaving the top of your head.
Yes.
And you're sitting there going, hey, Jim. I'm like, I had to leave because I was dying laughing. I mean, I was.
Oh, God. Jim, I told them three times. I said, I'm going to be wearing a full face helmet. And literally went in one ear and out the other. She never even heard me. She's like, this is the guy. She takes the 8x10 photo off the wall. She goes, this is the guy you're doubling. Oh, I remember that.
I still get a, oh God, it was by far. I was so mad but it was hilarious. So I couldn't, it's like, I'm trying to be mad, but I'm laughing so hard about it because you're such the pro that even though you full well knew that you were going to be wearing a helmet, you were sitting there in the chair and allowed to do that. I go, that says a lot about Corey Eubanks.
I remember I said to her, I go, listen, I don't want to argue with you. You just go ahead and do what you think you need to do knowing, but you got to do this knowing ahead of time, I will be wearing a helmet. Then I thought, I don't know if you caught this part, but after she went ahead and finished shaving, because I think she cried after that. She was so upset and shaved my head. I went and got my full face helmet and I put it on and I came back into the makeup trailer and I said, you want to do last looks? This is how I will look when I'm on camera. Oh, gosh.
Oh my God, that was hilarious.
What gets me sometimes, I'm going to pick on the hair department real quick. What I think is funny sometimes is this. I know this has happened to you 100 times. You're going to be an ND stunt driver, cop number 7, and it's night. You're driving a police car with the windows up, and you're going to be, the ninth car behind the bad guy that you're chasing. And they're like, okay, well, guys, let's have you run through hair and makeup. And you go in there and they look at you and they kind of give you that look like, I don't know if you really look like that's a police officer's cut. Let me see. Here, turn around. Let me see the hair behind your neck. And I go, well, just so you know, I'm in a vehicle at night with the light bars flashing and the windows are up. It's dark. The interior of the car is not lit. And it's a high back bucket seat. So you can't even, I could have a mullet and you wouldn't even know it. And they'll still say... Well, why don't you have a seat here? We're just going to trim you up a little bit behind your collar. Has that happened to you?
Oh, God. Oh, So many times.
Yeah.
So many times. You know, look, at the end of the day, you know, and again, when we came up in the business, you know, it was like, and the people we came up with were just like, shut your mouth, sit in the seat, and let them do their job, you know? And so it's like, we were geared towards that, you know, we're professionals, you know, we're going in, they want to do it. Okay. Well, there you go. You know, and it's I think that has a lot to do with when we came up in this business too, Corey.
Yeah.
You know, it's a little bit different now. And the folks that are in the business now are a little bit different. You know, we used to be able to talk to people a little bit more about, you know, they had a little bit better understanding. I think that the business has grown exponentially over the course of these, you know, last couple of decades, and you know, where it was, you could go into any trailer for the most part back then and kind of know somebody, you know, or know a few people, or know all the people.
Yeah.
Nowadays, there's so many new people that are coming to the business, and it isn't quite. Look, there's good parts to it, and there's not so good parts to it, but it certainly has changed over these many years.
Boy, not the truth. Yeah, it is the truth. Let me ask you, what is throughout your career, what would you say is the stunt that you did that you're most proud of? What film was it in, or was it a TV show?
Oh my God. You know, how many times have you been asked that question, Corey?
I know. And I go there. Yeah.
100 times.
I go, yeah, it was a footfall, you know, that I did. I did a footfall one time. And I came so close to hitting my mark. I was almost on my mark, but I, I know.
During this foot chase. I don't know, you know, that's a really difficult question, you know, because we do so many different, you know, gags, you know. Look, you've had an incredible, you know, stellar career in regards to being, you know, a wheel guy. You know, you know Corey Eubanks. You mentioned that name, it's immediately into big car things, big vehicle things. You know, turning a freaking bus over 18 times, or how many times you rolled that bus. You know, for me coming up, I came into this business as a fighter. When I came in the 80s. I was, as a martial artist, there was like three guys in the Screen Actors Guild that were martial artists, you know, and none of them that looked like I did. And so consequently, I came into the business at a time when we were transitioning from what we used to call the old John Wayne barroom brawls into what they termed sophisticated fighting.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's when Seagal was around, and Van Damme and Speakman and Norris and all those guys were coming in at that time, and we were changing the type of the way we're fighting. And as you know, and I know, 80% of stunts is fights and falls. The rest is all.
Jim, I think I just lost you. Everybody just got disconnected from Jim Vickers. Let me see if I can call Mr. Vickers back on the phone and get him back on the phone. He told me he had good cell service, and I think he lied to me. Let's see. Okay.
Hey, Corey.
Yeah, you lied to me. You told me you had good cell service. We just got disconnected.
I do. That was you.
Oh, I owe you an apology. Hey, wait, Jim, you got to envision this real quick. You know, you know, years ago, I had a band, and we used to perform and stuff, and we recorded an album, and we didn't have a recording booth, so we would take the microphone and do the vocals inside a closet, okay? Because all the clothes and everything, it's just tight, you know, and there's no reverb, and so
I've been trying to get you out of the closet for a long time.
I was gonna say, this is your opportunity, because as I'm speaking to you right now, I'm in the closet, but when we're done with this interview, Jim, because of you, I'm coming out of the closet.
Well, there you go. Proud and loud.
Oh my gosh. Oh, crazy. Hey, when you were doing your martial arts, what form did you do? I mean, there's so many different types of styles, right?
Well, there are. There's, you know, back, you know, I've lost count at 160, but I've always been a hard style martial artist. I, you know, I've, I hold rank in Goju and Aikido. Aikido, as we know it here, Okinawan hardstyle and Kajukenbo. So, you know, I've studied, you know, I've been a martial artist since I was very, very young. And it has served me well throughout my career. But that's really what kind of brought me in. And like I was saying, you know, when you rudely hung up on me and then called me back because you felt bad.
That's the truth. Yeah. I'm like, this is going nowhere. I'm just going to tell him I had bad cell service and just hang up on him.
And then blame him on me. Way yeah. to go. It sounds so familiar.
Who did you idolize in the fight world growing up? Was it Chuck Norris? Was it Bruce Lee? Who was the guy you got? I want to be like that guy.
I mean, they were funny enough. Those guys were all my age. I would say that honestly, you know, if I were to go back, you know, I'm a big, you know, Hong Kong, you know, those B movies back in the day, you know, and of course, you know, when Bruce Lee started coming up and all of that. But I mean, I'm, you know, you know, so there was really nobody out there when I was coming up besides Bruce Lee, you know, and we, you know, I would, as a, you know, a younger person, you know, I'd see the Green Hornet. So, you know, that was really, you know, Bruce Lee. And then Bruce Lee started putting out some movies. And so for me, it was all about that. But really, honestly, I got into the martial arts at a young age, probably for all the right reasons. You know, I kind of like to, fighting, I guess. And so my parents kind of thought it would be a good idea to take me off the streets and put me in a ring and allow me to fight within the martial arts world as opposed to, you know, out there doing what I was doing as a, you know, as a no good child.
You were a troublemaker. That's what you're telling us. You were a troublemaker growing up.
Well, here's the thing. It's funny. I went to Catholic school. I may have told you the story. I went to Catholic school and I was in Puerto Rico. I'm half Latin and look like a tall white guy, but my mother's Puerto Rican Cuban. And my dad was, we moved to Puerto Rico and I went to Catholic school there. And I literally fought every day after school from fifth grade to high school on the church stairs so that God would be able to see us.
Wait a minute. Is this like an organized fight? Like, hey, I'll fight you after school. Meet me in the stairs.
Yeah. Every day, every single day. It was one of those things, but then I got started getting really tall. So it was, as a young kid, I lost a lot as I was growing up. I did pretty well, but then, you know, it was just wasn't conducive to a normal lifestyle. So therefore martial arts kind of saved me.
Wow. And also got you into the film business.
Somehow got me. Well, that's a great story in itself because my martial arts instructor, Ron Russell, who, you know, was my partner in the dojo. At the time I was a firefighter paramedic in another life. But I still, as a martial artist, we owned a dojo together, and Ronnie started, he was asked to become Don Johnson's bodyguard during Miami Vice series.
That's right. And I remember this.
Yeah. Right. And so he got really busy doing that. And then other people wanted to learn, martial arts, both, you know, directors, producers, actors, and I was given the opportunity to train people. And one producer who's still a great friend of mine, Mufazaro, asked me if I wanted to train and double a person on a film many, many years ago. And that's how I got into the business. I started just, you know, it came through martial arts and Miami Vice series, and the rest is history.
Wow. So what are you working on now? Aren't you doing a TV series or a movie right now?
Yeah, we're doing, we're back on CSI. I did 9 years of CSI Miami. I also did a pilot for CSI New York. And now I've completed the circle by doing, they've rebooted CSI Vegas, the original one. And this is our second season and it's going gangbusters.
Who is starring in that?
Well, last season we had Billy Peterson, who was in one of the original cast, along with Georgia Fox. They were both with us last season. Neither one came back this season, but Mark Helgenberg came back, who was another one of the original cast members on the CSI. But now we have a whole bunch of new folks that into this one, and just a great group of people.
Well, that makes it fun. You're talking about the crew that you're working with?
Well, the crew and the cast. The cast are just a lot of fun. And the crew is just, it's funny because a lot of the crew are the same crew that did CSI Miami and then later on did Scorpion with us.
Yeah.
But now we have a whole bunch of new folks in that are just really, really great. And the crew and the cast, it's at this stage of the game, this far down the road for me, it's got to be fun. You know, and I got to tell you, it is all of that and then some.
Hey, didn't you win an Emmy?
I did. Yeah. Nominated four times, won once. They cheated me out of the other ones.
Of course they did. Of course they're all, yeah, they just because they're jealous of you because you're tall and handsome and talented.
Well,
what did you win the
that's exactly what I thought.
Yeah. What did you win the Emmy on? I forget.
I won the Emmy on CSI Miami, which, you know, funny enough, was like one of the only Emmys won on that series. And so we were very proud of that. And of course, I was very proud of it. And it was another one of those ones in which I was directing the second unit. And so not only as a stunt coordinator, but as a second unit, and a great friend of mine, Sam Hill, was the main director. Ildi Muldrow, who wrote the episode, went on to become the showrunner, executive producer over on Lucifer, which is where I went and directed.
Wow, you know what?
It was a very family thing.
These producers that you work with, and that even those that you haven't worked with, they've got to know that having someone new on their production is a tremendous asset. I mean, you're a director, you know, you edit, you design action, you know what, how to cut costs to get something put on the screen for a lot less money if they do it the way you're suggesting, just because of the decades of experience that you have. And it's funny how sometimes I find that they want to turn a deaf ear to you until you prove to them, hey, you know what? I gave you a suggestion on how to do it better, and it did work out better. And then they start to listen to you. But yeah, you are one of those people that, man, if I were a director coming onto a show and you were my stunt coordinator, second unit director, I would be given as much as I could for you to go and shoot. I'd be here. You go do this. You make it look good. You know, it's frustrating sometimes when you get those directors who are like, nope, I'm going to shoot everything.
Yeah, you know, look, again, you know, there's a lot of ego involved. You know, there's a lot of ego involved. That's usually younger directors that aren't quite as sure of themselves as a seasoned director. You know, I find that most seasoned directors want to empower people to do it to the best of their abilities.
Uh-huh.
It usually is a younger director. And you know, with a little bit of nudging here and there, and you know, and as you were saying, you know, sometimes, you know, you can make the suggestion, and you know how it works. You know, you make it their suggestion, and then you sit back and go, wonderful idea.
Yeah.
That is a great idea.
I know exactly what you're saying. It's such an art to be able to do that, to feed them an idea as if it's they came up with it. I know exactly what you're saying. Hey,
right.
Back when you were, I just heard this. I don't know if this is actually true or not, so I just want to see if you could confirm for everybody. I thought I had heard that when you were in your martial arts career, when you were fighting and were all in shape and everything, wasn't there a small period of time there, like a year or two, that you were an underwear model, or is that just a rumor?
Well, I would like to say that it's true. Me and Marky Mark.
I knew it. I knew it, Jim. Oh gosh.
And by the way, you said something which was a little tiny bit offensive in the respect that you said back when you were in shape.
Back when
excuse me? Excuse me?
What am I insinuating? That you're not in shape now, it's right?
Wow. Wow.
Oh gosh.
Wow.
Well, it's just like the other day when you called me and left a message or something. I call you back in your voice recording and says, yeah, you know, this is Jim Vickers. I can't get you right now, but if you want to leave a short message, I'm like, I go, that's a poke at me. I know he did that recording on purpose just because I'm short and to try to hurt my feelings. So you've got a mean streak in you. You know that.
Well, I didn't really think that you'd pick up on that, but you did, thankfully.
Oh, Jim, I tell you what, man, I sure miss working with you. Hey, what was that? You and I were on some show. We were out of town. What was it? We were drinking moonshine. What was that show? Was that Banshee? What was that? We were in some other state. Do you remember?
Oh, God. What's that? I think it was Banshee.
And I think it was. Jeff Wolf was with us.
Yes, that was Banshee. God, we were drinking moonshine. Why don't I remember that?
Because we drank too much moonshine. Oh gosh. Hey buddy, listen, I really appreciate you being on my stunt stories because you know looking back on my career, some of the best times I've ever had in this industry has been working with you. And you're a dear, dear friend. You're such a talent, and I appreciate and love you so much. And I just want to say thank you very much.
Well, thank you, Corey. And the same back at you. You know, you're a brother, and that's the way I feel about you. You know, I mean, honestly, I mean, it's like it's every single time we get the opportunity to spend time together, it really is. It's cherished, and it's always unbelievable fun. And at the end of the day, not only are we having fun, but we get to do the job that we love to do. And I also know one of the comforting things, you know, having you with me, anytime that you have the, you know, the time to be able to make it out over on one of the shows that I'm involved with, I just know that I don't even have to think about it, you know, because you are such an incredible talent.
I think you just broke up there, Jim, your phone. You might want to repeat what you just said. I think we had bad cell service. It sounded awfully garbled there. Not really sure where he was at. Hey, listen, Jim, thank you so much. And hey, everybody, thank you for listening to Stunt Stories. Talk to you guys later.
Love you, Corey.
Love you too, Jim. Thanks, buddy.